Blog Talk Radio.
Guys out there and hear me, let me know. My name is Linda. I'm your host today. I'm broadcasting from a very, very gloomy, rainy, wet west coast here in Oceanside. It's the second day of rain and we need it so desperately. Again, let me know if you have sound and we will continue. There's a lot to get to today, so hopefully you guys can hear me. Just want to check with that, and please, if you can or can't, type in, let me know. And if I see people refreshing, then I'll kind of know what's happening. Hopefully Rod Luke is back from his little break, and we'll get going. I want to do some scripture, and again, type in if you can hear me or can't. That will be good. This one was from last Sunday, and it was really good. Just want to welcome Rod and Yo to the chat room and anyone who's listening, and hopefully those who are trying to get in can get in, as we have an hour show today. So, and Blog Talk has decided not to let us do recurring shows, so we have to do it every week. Sound one person. Hopefully she can hear me now. How's it going, Yo? Just let me know. Anyway, this Bible, according to Mark, and this is Mark chapter 13, static, 24 through 37. Okay, I'll try to keep still. It says, "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will give a bit light. The stars will be falling from heaven, and we'll see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. You do not know when the master of the house comes, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I will say to all, stay awake." Really good information and pick up Bill. He's in here trying to listen. And how are you doing, sir?
Hello, I'm doing well.
Good. I'm glad I can hear you and y'all can hear me. Hopefully, we're having trouble with sound, but I got everything in. Good that you're getting taken care of. Oh, that was he's talking to Yola about some cataract surgery. We'll wait well on that. And this passage from the the book of Mark was very good because we must stay awake. And I want to go to the more awakening. This was done by Bradley Dean's Sons of Liberty situation that I get in the emails. And it dovetails with what I actually heard yesterday on Mikey B's show, because he had one right after Hoot and Holler. So this is really, really good, talking about Lincoln's Law for Empire and how Jefferson Davis exposed this tyranny. Well, you know, he was the president of the South when they seceded. Anyway, it says, this land his first inaugural. I have no purpose directly or indirectly to interfere with the institution of slavery in the states where it exists. I believe I have no lawful right to do so and have no inclination to do so. End quote. And this a quote from Judge Kendall in Papers of the Southern Historical Society of February 1874. I don't remember these because it's going to come up again. During the term of the Supreme Court, Judge Nelson had very carefully examined the laws of the United States to enable him to attain his conclusion, and from time to time he consulted justices upon the questions which his examination had suggested. His conclusion was that without very serious violation of the contract and the statutes, coercion could not be successfully affected by the executive department against the southern states, end quote. Now, James Madison, in the Eliot's debates, says, who are the parties to the Constitution? The people, but not the people as composing one great body, but the people as composing 13 sovereignties. No state is bound by it, as it is with its own consent. To go to the very, the British colonies never constituted one people. Just from his commentaries on the Constitution seems to apply the contrary, though he a direct version of it and clouds the subject by a confusion of terms. The Constitution was never submitted to the people of the United States in the aggregate or as a people. Indeed, no such political community as the people of the United States in the aggregate exists at this day or ever did exist. Senators in Congress confessedly represent the states as equal units. The vital and essential point of inquiry now is by what authority the Constitution was ordained and established. Mr. Webster says it was done by the people of the United States in the aggregate. Mr. Everett repeats substantially the same thing. Mr. Motley, taking a step further, says that it was ordained and established by a power superior to the states. By the people of the whole land in their aggregate capacity. The advocates of this mischievous dogma assume the existence of an unauthorized, undefined power of the whole people, or people of the whole land, and operating through the agency of the Philadelphia Convention to impose decrees upon the states. They forget that this convention was composed of distinct states, and their action had no force or validity until approved and ratified by a sufficient number of states. If, then, we can conceive, admit for a moment, the possibility that when the Constitution is under consideration, the people of the United States were politically one people, a collective unit, two deductions are clearly inevitable. Each geographical division would have been entitled to vote according to its relative population, and the expressed will of the legal majority would have been binding upon the whole. Now, neither of these principles was practiced or proposed or even imagined. No majority or majorities of states or people had any control whatever upon the people of a state. The Constitution was established between the states and only between the states, so ratifying the same. When in after times the passions of the day shall have subsided and the evidence shall have been collected and compared, the philosophical inquirer who asks why the majority of the stronger section invaded the peaceful homes of their late associates will be answered by history. The lust of empire impelled them to wage against their weaker neighbors a war of subjugation. Then it says, Jefferson Davis, The Rise and Fall of the Confederate Government. Jefferson Davis' book, The Rise and Fall of the Confederate Government, is not an apology for slavery. It is an extremely well-reasoned, classically articulate, and comprehensive document history of the real causes of the Civil War. It is a narrative of how the states created the federal government rather than vice versa, including the newly admitted states, which were invited into the Union as equal partners in continuing to establish and regulate the federal government as their servant. This is why it was a big deal to be admitted as a new state. A new state was one more regional government which the federal government was subject to. Get that? The original states would have been undermining their own position if they had not accepted the new states as co-equals in drawing boundaries around federal power. Each and every state was sovereign. In arguing that the states were sovereign, before and after Lincoln succeeded by violence and terror to strip them of their sovereignty, either Jefferson Davis is the greatest liar in American history, or his opponents are. It has to be one or the other. A co-commitant dichotomy is that Davis and the others in the South, at the fact, tried to recreate the main cause of the war, referred to the lost state rights, or anti-Southern historians have reinvented the novel reason for going to war, making it the prohibition. Like, nothing could be more clear than Northern historians stealing their own revisionist history by accusing the South of reinvention. You decide yourself who actually changed their story by reading Davis's book, which no doubt liberals and the Lincoln cult would to suppress. Have already been exposed throughout your government education to the cult's point of view. In Davis's narrative, the North had no moral or legal basis for the military invasion of 1861. It could not be rooted in the history of the states, their relationships, and finally their mutually agreed upon constitution. The North was institutionally racist, like the South, and had asserted state sovereignty and the right of secession during the ratification process and after it. The North grew silent about state sovereignty and its own flirtations with secession only after it started killing people in the South, killing them off of whom its own remonstrations and history echoed. The Constitution was, in fact, a compact between the states which explicitly accepted the institution of slavery. This, in part, was why the war was not and could not be initiated legally and in the first place to end slavery. Every half-educated American already knows that Lincoln did not initiate his military subjugation of the South in order to end slavery, and that most Northerners had little interest in freeing the slaves, let alone inviting them into their states. They may also know that there is no explicit right of secession in the Constitution, but they very often do not know that there is no explicit right of secession in the Constitution, that as such includes the rights to and was taken for granted while being embodied in the Constitution Clause and 10th Amendment after explicit debate about the right of secession. The problem with an explicit right of secession is that it would have required too many explicit conditions, too many constraints on secession. James Madison agreed that the best way to handle the well-understood right as the logical implication of state sovereignty is implicit. He may have been proven wrong, but only because justice in 1861 became of the stronger, not an honest account of history. The whole process of creating and ratifying the Constitution of 1789 was explicitly based upon state sovereignty. Several states reserved their right to secede in their bills of ratification. Massachusetts, which threatened to leave after the federal government was duly constituted, was given explicit leave to do so by Jefferson Davis, among others. President Buchanan, as he vacated the White House, pointed out that no power to invade the states for any reason had been delegated to the federal government by the Constitution. This was power which Lincoln bestowed upon himself with the blessing of his empire-building, plutocratic Republican party. It is aptly summarized by the fact that the states created the federal government and we were not finally subject to it. The federal government was their divide for doing what the states agreed to do and nothing more. This is exactly Hamilton's story, Mr. Everett, and all. And finally, Lincoln began to deny, well before the night of birth, a patently bizarre and inconsistent account of the text of the Constitution. The claim they made is quite simple and so implausible that Jefferson Davis and many others in both the North and South could hardly believe it being proposed by honorable men. They essentially government was created by the whole people who supposedly required and then ratified the Constitution themselves. What Jefferson Davis shows in his 500-page, first-hand, comprehensively documented history of the Constitution and the South's ill-fated reliance on it is that the whole idea that the people in the abstract, rather than the states in the concrete, created and ratified the Constitution is metaphysical and historical nonsense. The men who created and exploited this myth knew very well it was nothing but an invention for manipulating and threatening a section of the country whose interests threatened theirs. There were several painful and key moral realities in American history. One, slavery was a huge mistake, a genuine form of corporate morality. Two, the failure to prepare slaves for freedom through early compensated emancipation was as immoral as enslaving them in the first place. It made them vulnerable to a whole new and much powerful plantation government, which you and I are a part of now. The Lincoln administration had no legal right to invest in because of the whole history of the state's legal relations with England and one another. Lincoln's military invasion of the South destroyed the Union, which by its nature must be voluntary, and the destiny of the government. In 1861, the federal government made it clear to us, the people of the states, that anyone who thinks that the federal government is ours to abolish can and will be killed without legal or moral justification. This is sometimes referred to as murder. The America of the Declaration of Independence was murdered in a pornographically bloody fashion in 1861. We are not living in the America of the Declaration. We are not free. The government is not us and has not been us, even in principle, since 1861. We are just now starting to make the government us again. Our elected county sheriffs are demonstrating this by threatening to arrest federal agents who attempted to directly control the people of their counties. It is my sincere hope that this is just one dimension of an inevitably successful revolution. Since this is comprehensive documentation of his point so overpowering, we must ask whether he could have made this stuff up. But of course, we are talking about historical documents and are on record. No one has done his documentation. All can do is question his interpretation of it. But as the narrative accumulates, this becomes more and more difficult. Be sure there's no verification or falsification of any account in history to the extent that it describes physical objects. Past intentions are the mental states of historical actors, both individual and corporate. What is so ironically powerful about Davis's narrative is its moral authenticity, which includes more concern for the destiny of ex-slaves than the North and its central government ever did. As the wards of the government schools, we have been taught since the middle of the last century that Lincoln and his cohorts were the moral giants. The Gestapo, the historical Gestapo, had taken over. Prior to that point in time, strong criticisms of Lincoln, North and South, were still protected and inspected by a widespread belief in free speech. Now the Gestapo is facing internet pitchforks wielded by increasingly skeptical and free minds, the sort of minds that liberals are supposed to promote. Yeah, right. A great deal of revisionist history about Lincoln and his war is now for sale atop the grave of the East Coast publishing establishment, suggesting that what has actually been revisionist is the history produced by Lincoln. Of course, every American student should do research on their own, true or false, nearly clearly false. Lincoln was an atheist or until today he died. Lincoln had legal authority for invading the southern states. Lincoln had no moral authority for invading the southern states. Slavery could have been abolished without a bloody civil war. That I believe. The civil war had to be fought to achieve the Republican Party's political and economic goals. Ironically, in the act of research of the questions, we were to result in a either clearly true or false would leave Lincoln in a condition of vivid moral and legal ambiguity, which all by itself is a devastating judgment given the undeniable nature of his program, total war and terror. So that was one I wanted to share because, okay, so it looks like, anyway, so that was what I did want to conclude. I was listening to Mikey B's show last night, and he had the gentleman on again that he used to have. His name is Sean, and I can't remember his last name. And he was talking about what's called. So it's something wrong with my connection, or it's Bill's phone. I don't know which. I wonder if I can.
You keep going in and out. And then you'll have moments where you're just flying along smooth, and then you'll go in and out, glitching again.
Do what?
You keep going in and out, and then you'll have a moments there where you'll be sailing along, no problem. Then it'll start glitching again.
How does it sound now?
Right now it sounds great.
Okay, great. Anyway, so the show last night, be either part of my setup here or just God knows what's going on. This computer needs to be cleaned out. Need to order that. It's called Revo. It's a wonderful program. I got to check it out. But anyway, so Sean on Mikey's show last night was talking about the Redemption Manual, and this is taking back your natural state of a natural person rather than a corporate entity or fictitious corporate entity. So it's smooth right now, Rod. Keep telling me because I can't tell myself because I'm getting some kind of feedback and I'm trying to get away from my speakers. But, huh?
You're doing fine right now.
Okay.
No
business. Okay. Okay, thank God. All right, so maybe it's just my headset. It could be that. So what's happening is, and we were talking about Jefferson Davis, and we're talking about Lincoln, and we're talking about the 1800s. In 1871, of course, after the Civil War was finished, they corporatized this country, and it was all the Hamiltonians and, of course, Webster and Lincoln who did it, these people. And everything, I think there's so many things that he did, and I did read that book that Ron had talked about and promoted for us to learn about the real Lincoln, and that was quite an eye-opener. That piece that I just did with Bradley Dean's site was absolutely, you know, spot on, and it really confirmed that whole book that I did read. What's going on with the Redemption Manual is to teach you where we are with this corporatocracy and what happened in 1933 with the bankruptcy and FDR confiscating the gold, the 1913, of course, of the Federal Reserve and all of these. So I think you got to read that book, Rod. You need to come up to speed on this because these people are evil. It was not about slavery. And so I know that Ron has talked about this, and Mikey B's talked about it, and others have talked about the 14th Amendment and others. Of course, we have the 16th and 17th Amendment, which I absolutely think are horrible. The IRS is horrible. And not only is the United States a corporation, good question. Anyway, whoever was in charge was doing the corporatizing. Yes, I agree with you, Beasley, that it was for economic reasons, and the people felt that they had a right to secede. So, no, that war was unnecessary, as far as from what I'm seeing from everything else. Anyway, so that they have made us corporate entities, like a straw person. And this whole manual, and I'm not even halfway through it, but it's just fascinating, talks about how to get your life back and how to rescind yourself from zip codes and all the nonsense that they put you through and licenses. It's just, it's horrible what they've done. They literally own us. And it's this $18 trillion in debt, it's really not ours. It's theirs. They created this mess. They were the ones who literally made us the creditors in this situation. But I will send it to you guys so you can read it. It's like amazing. The gentleman who wrote it and authored it with some other people was brilliant. He was trying to explain in a very short period of time on the other show last night how this all works and what, you know, that. Go ahead.
Have you seen the new statistic? The year 2030, so much of your paycheck will be going to federal taxes and stuff because of entitlements, and that by the year 2050, 86% of your check of what you earn will be going in taxes.
Well, this is part of the problem because if you know, and Ron's talked about this so many times, know what the tax code says and what a 1040 is and what a 1041 is, and that you are not a corporation and you are not a government employee, you do not have to pay this stuff. And everything that they've done with the UCC code, this is all about the commercial code. Everything is commerce, and everything in commerce is a contract, from a ticket you get from a cop, going in and opening a bank account, registering yourself as a voter, all of this. You're entering into their world, and you do not need to do it. You have, there's no, nothing in the Constitution that grants them the right to do any of this nonsense. None.
You pay off your property, and you still have to pay property taxes.
Right.
For what?
Because they own it all.
But they do nothing on your property at all. You pay the water company for what they do. You pay the electric company for what they do. But they do nothing on your property at all. Yet you are stuck paying them taxes far after you've paid off your property.
Oh, I know. Well, no, we were born free, Beasley, but they have enslaved us with all of their corporate nonsense and their lies and their lawyers and their judges and their maritime law and their fringed flags. It's just ridiculous. And capitalizing our names on our driver's licenses, which we shouldn't even have to have anyway, because we're not drivers, we're travelers. Yeah, the birth certificate, that's another one. You don't need a birth certificate. God knows you're here, knows who you are. It should be recorded in the Bible, in your family Bible. That's the way it used to be. And so were marriages and deaths, and that's fine. They've got us by the short hairs, and I'm tired of it. So anyway, I will send that to you guys. There was a couple, let's see, there was one I wanted to go through. That's correct. That's maritime law, and that's why they think they've got us. But if you know your stuff, you can get around it. This was one I didn't get a chance to do last week, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in the newspapers. So you guys can jump in anytime if you guys can still hear me clearly. this was Lindsey Graham, Benghazi report. He calls it garbage. It says, the Republican senator rejects findings by GOP-led committee. A top Republican took aim at his GOP colleagues on Sunday for issuing a report that largely absolved the Obama administration for its handling of the 2012 attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, dismissing the accounting by the GOP-led House Intelligence Committee as, quote from Lindsey, full of crap. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said that compiling its report, the committee accepted a complete bunch of garbage and allowed more finger-pointing within the administration about responsibility for the fatalities at the consulate. I'm saying the House, this is a quote from him, I'm saying the House Intelligence Committee is doing a lousy job of policing their own, Graham said on CNN's State of the Union.
Last night we had, you know, the ones that have come out from the CIA and ANX that have spoken out, they were speaking out last night, and they were agreeing with Graham that this was a total farce. They never talked to anyone who was there, and these people, when they did get to D.C. and stuff, had to pay their own way and all this and that. You know, it's just the whole thing, according to the ones who were there on the ground, the whole findings of this GOP thing was crap.
Exactly. That's what he's saying.
We still, it's not over, because we still have the investigation being headed by, what's his name? Our guy.
ISA?
No, the young guy. Trey Gowdy.
Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, we still have the investigation being headed by Trey Gowdy into all this. And he is talking to the ones that were there on the ground.
Yes.
So here's the rest of this little deal. It says, other Republican members of Congress suggested that the Benghazi debate should end. Senator Jeff Flake, who is a flake of Arizona, said he thinks it's time to move beyond that. Of course he does. The back and forth followed the Friday release of the latest report about the attacks that killed Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens, two former Navy SEALs from San Diego County, Tyrone Woods of Imperial Beach and Glenn Doherty of Encinitas. That's just down the street from me. And State Department Information Management Specialist and San Diego native Sean Smith. The House review found that the administration did not intentionally mislead people about how the attacks unfolded, which I find more garbage, despite the fact that its early statements turned out to be wrong. Actually, out-and-out lies, for me. No one gave an order to the U.S. military to stand down in their efforts to save the Americans in the consulate, as some have claimed, the report concludes, which is nonsense. Like previous reviews, the investigation determined that the State Department didn't have enough security at the compound to begin with and needed CIA assistance to get the situation under control. Though the new report reached many of the same conclusions as previous reviews, it drew new attention because it was generated by House Republicans. In his interview on Meet the Press, Flakes, yeah, it's a good name for him, Flakes said his concern about Benghazi was how the administration portrayed it, especially when a top Obama advisor went on television shortly after the attack. Yeah, Susan Rice. Here we go. Susan Rice, an Obama aide, who is now the national security advisor, said the attack arose from a popular protest against an anti-Islam video made in the U.S. and not a premeditated terrorist attack. The administration later said otherwise. They're all liars. I've always thought the biggest problem with Benghazi is how it was cast by the administration and the remarks that Susan Rice just really threw in the face of what we knew was going on. But the regard, with regard to the other things that were addressed by this report, well, yes, I thought for a long time that we ought to move beyond that. Graham said he was looking forward to the work of another House committee, the Select Committee on Benghazi, to dig further into this matter. The committee is the eighth such government panel to investigate the incident. Meanwhile, a House Democrat called Friday's House Intelligence Report the result of a two-year exhaustive investigation. It was released by the Republican chairman of the Intelligence Committee and had the support of all the Republicans and Democrats on the committee, said Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of Burbank. It's designed to be the definitive word on what happened from the intelligence community's point of view. End quote. It reminds me of a lawyer's maxim that if the law is not on your side, emphasize the facts. If the facts aren't on your side, bang on the table, Schiff said. I think we heard Lindsey banging on the table quite a bit this morning. Well, he had a right to. So, okay. I'm trying to check out what Rod was saying. Something about nothing can be done in the area. We have to focus on the problem confronting us right now. And I'm not sure what that one is. So go ahead and type that in. The other item.
What we're having right now is the great push for a racial conflict in the country. It's being pushed and shoved. And what I saw today, the verdict there with the cop in New York didn't get it. I felt I actually have to side with the protesters on that one. Because if you don't know how when to let go of that kind of a hold, you should never be locking it on to somebody.
Yeah, you know, this. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's a whole different situation from what happened in Ferguson. Totally different than it is.
Right.
And to try to link them up. No, they're trying to link them up and see cops are killing black people. That's what they're trying to do with it. And as Mr. Gruber keeps telling us, this nation's full of stupid people. There's a whole lot of people that won't listen to nothing but some idiot out there like Al Sharpton saying, oh, these are linked together. This is just how it's going.
Just trying to rile people up.
But I do agree. It was excessive force used in New York. There was no reason for that. And if you do, you know, put that kind of hold on someone. I've been taught what they call the Ranger chokehold. And you know that when the person goes out, you let go. Well, apparently this guy didn't know that. Besides, he didn't know how to apply it properly. what he applied was a chokehold, and he basically suffocated that man.
That's awful. I know. And look, there is a huge militarization of the police, and according to
Obama was helping that. He was giving them. Remember all the millions and millions of rounds of ammo and all the guns he was buying up for all these three-letter organizations, the EPA, the IRS, and all these people?
Well, look, the police departments, you got to look at the kind of the big picture, and I think people like Sharpton and Eric Holder and some of these people are just, you know, they just anything to divide us further, anything to spew their whatever hatred towards the status quo.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to link these two up as if they're the same kind of situation, and they're not. One, you have a guy who just pulled off a robbery. He wasn't selling cigarettes. He wasn't, the guy was, I think, could have been talked into putting handcuffs on. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I know that once you had him on the ground, all you cops are on top of him. There's no reason to keep choking him.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, if he's a big guy, and I think he was, they could use
a cop's gun away from him. And there's no doubt if he'd got the cop's gun, he would have used it on the cop.
The verdict was already out. The evidence was already.
Yeah, the evidence there is overwhelming. On the other case, you've got the evidence where the pathologist says the man was suffocated.
The cop was wrong.
Yeah. So, you know, it's two totally different scenarios. But they're going to try to link them together and use it as this is cops killing blacks, and painting the cops in a bad eye. You got to wonder, why are they doing that?
Well,
they couldn't use anybody else because they are afraid that they're going to lose their power in 2016. They see it coming. They feel it coming. And I'm so sick of hearing, oh, you can't shut down the government. Look what happened in 2012. What happened?
In Obama.
No, 2012. After he was elected. 2012. What happened was this: come 2014, in an election for the Senate and governorships and stuff, the Republicans kicked Democrats' butts. That's what happened.
Well, look. Okay, we can go into the parties. They're having a little typo and spelling war in the chat room. Anyway, so basically, look, you've got the militarization of the police department. And by the way, the police department, the U.S. Postal Service, the federal government, the sheriff's departments, the state governments, and all these clowns, these are all your little cities are corporations. They are they're corporate, and they have all of their little corporate rules and regulations and their commerce rules and regulations and contract rules and regulations. If you don't enter into a contract with them, or even if you do, you have 3 days to rescind it, and that would be really good. Good thing to learn. So I'm going to try to get it out to Yo and Bill and to Rod and to the others. I know Mikey sent it to me and Ron last night.
The reason there's so much conflict is you all live on top of each other, piled up inside the cities. Get the hell out into the open where you can breathe.
Well, exactly. The problem is, you know,
if I had to come a cop, it would take him a good 10 to 12 minutes to get here.
Well, I'm looking at this stuff in the chat room, and it's like the cops are all pigs to support and sustain white supremacy. I don't believe that for a minute. There's tons of black cops. There's Hispanic cops. They speak fluent Spanish here in our area because we're overrun with Hispanics in California, especially in San Diego. And for the most part, my people here, the police department in Oceanside, of all colors, seem to be very professional. You get a couple jerks, you know, like in all these things, and it's the minority right around here, thank God. I mean, even in L.A. when I lived up there, I had some wonderful people. The people on special forces, people on detective work, they were amazing. They were very professional, polite, and they knew their stuff. I mean, they were highly educated. They got it right. So
here's a little statistic for those people out there that buy this crap. 400 and some people were killed last year by a police officer shooting. A little over 100 and some of them were black. 370 some of them were white or Hispanic.
Okay, I'm gonna address this one. It says the power structure of the entire world is run by whites. Now, why do you think that is? Maybe because how many black people in percentage-wise, Bill, are in the United States?
13%.
Okay, 13% of the people in...
That's going to be lower after this amnesty. It would be about 10% then. And then
after the next
6,000, we ain't counting, and family reunification, blacks will be about 6% of the nation. That's what Obama's done for
them. Anyway, when you only have 13% of the population that is of color or the African American race, maybe it's because the world's population has a majority of white people. Now, I had nothing to do with that. You had nothing to do with it. The black people had nothing to do with it. It's just the way it is. Hello? White supremacy. I suppose you go along with the white privilege nonsense, too. Good God. This leftist nonsense, just it's crazy. Anyway, I'm going to go.
There are more Chinese than there are blacks.
Okay, so... I'm not even going to address it. If he wants to call in, we'll take the call in and we'll see where it goes. The other portion on...
No statistics to back up anything he says. It's just going to be crap.
Well, anyway, it says the entire world where whites are the minority. So, I don't know. I mean, I haven't done my research on it, but that's just... I don't care what color they are. I just know who's the actual creeps are. And that is the ones who have all the money and the power. I didn't say they were the majority in the world. I said I didn't do the research on it. Sorry. Why don't you go find your source and type it into the chat room? Anyway, the last bit on this was a letter to the editor on the Benghazi thing, and then we'll leave that one alone and we'll go. We still have almost 20 minutes. So it says, Benghazi controversy not going away soon. This was from a private citizen. Regarding House panel military, CIA responded properly in Benghazi, so the public wasn't misled by saying it was a spontaneous demonstration, not an attack, and there wasn't a stand-down order despite the contrary evidence. The on-site security agents that responded were lying when they said they were delayed almost 30 minutes by... being ordered to stand down. The video caused the attack wasn't said by Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton, and President Obama, despite what the article says, we were misled. What really astounds me is that the committee was led by the Republicans, and that's true. So so then we got the other one where it talks about the back in the election we just had in November. Real conservatives are big GOP winners. A myth believed by the left and by the leaders of the GOP is the reason California won't elect Republicans is because they are not left enough. A gay, pro-gay marriage, and pro-abortion rights candidate lost his bid for Congress. How much more left should a GOP candidate be? And that was Carl DeMaio. The huge spread in the races won by real conservatives shows the path that works. It won the Senate, 31 governor seats now, 20 state legislatures, and 12 plus more seats in the House. The misconception is that the U.S. voter wants an impossibly expensive, all-invasive, big government utopia. And I agree, because we don't. Beasley left on.
It's like all the talk the economists have been making today. There's no way to pay the debts that we have. and yet we have a government that's getting ready to go out here, and he wants to spend more money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's just awful.
He's already spent 70% more than all of the other presidents combined.
Oh, I know. Well, look, I got to send you this. You got to read this thing about the debt, because it's gonna turn your head around and upside down, Bill. You're gonna love this thing, and I'll send it to Yo, and I'll send it to Rod as well. That we can all understand this, because it's what's happened to us, and they've done it very stealthily and very secretively and very rottenly through the years. And they've lied to us. They've done all this stuff, and people were not awake, and it's not good. Well, it looks like, yeah, sticks and stones. I'm glad they got rid of him. I guess Rod and Yo finally. He's an agitator. Yeah, good. I mean, it's just ridiculous. He will make claims, you know, and I invited him to call in because, I mean, he was, in the beginning, he was starting to, you know, actually act like a real chat room person. But then, of course, he let loose with his leftist nonsense and his, I don't know what he's talking about, the majority, you know, white supremacy and all this stuff. It's such BS.
You know, if you don't like this country, you can get a boat to Africa.
Yeah.
What kind of civilizations are there there?
I'll tell you where we should send him is to North Korea. Then he'll find out what about this utopia is all about. He'll find out real quick. I'd love to see. Or they send him to Venezuela or Cuba. There you go. Any of those. It's pretty nuts. So
you like this country, you can leave it, because there's a whole lot of people, the majority of people in this country, love this country.
I'm going to try to get this one really quick. Here it is. I got to give you a couple pieces of this, you guys. It's just amazing. If I can come up with it. Anyway, it says, this redemption manual, a step-by-step guide to reclaiming your personal freedom. And it says, for years they have attempted to hide from us our nation's godly law, but now the truth is out. 70 is out to regain your God-inspired marvelous freedom. So this is a 117-page manual, and I love it because I'm about on page 36 or something. Talks about courts, taxes, documents, rejection of contracts, the American dream through redemption, understanding your road to freedom, understanding contracts and corporations, the true birth, a birth record established by the creator. And it says, American people wake up. But it's really cool. It says, I, the Son, meaning Son of God, have come to set you free. And who the Son sets free, you are free indeed. Your redemption is here. The power of attorney, in fact, is written, or your power of attorney. The IRS has been uncovered by their own law. You have been filing the wrong form. It's just like really cool. You know, it's talking about, it says, every phase of our lives are in commerce. You need your straw man to operate in commerce. Your straw man has a license to operate in commerce. In other words, your driver's license, marriage license, handgun license, occupational building permits, all this stuff. A license is as good as long as you want it to be by your permission. When there is a fine for misuse of your license, you need to learn how to then switch the straw man to the living soul, which is what you really are, with the right to life, liberty, and property and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, I love that he added property. The straw man is a transmitting utility that allows you to operate in a commerce with a license to conduct your commercial affairs. It talks about the maritime law. I mean, Bill, this thing, you got to read it. Take the time. And I know sometimes you get a little insomnia. This would be a great day to read that 117 pages, which is a hell of a lot less than the ACA that you plowed through.
I'm wanting to start on Thomas Sowell's Basic Economics.
Good.
I consider that one of the most brilliant men out there. I listened to him last night again, and like he said, he sees through the charade going on. and many others do,
right.
And many others are going to open their eyes here shortly.
Yeah, you know, there's so much to be uncovered. You guys, I know that I remember Frank Winkle talking about this. I know Ron Golden's talked about it, and Mikey B's talked, and he's got this guy on twice now that I've heard. And I actually got to ask him questions yesterday. But this manual is answering the questions that I was going to ask him. Where this man is a true Christian, and he says we need to start following the Bible and the original Constitution instead of what's being thrown at us and forced down our throats. This literal slavery that we're in right now because of the 1871. So you know, and of course that idiot Beasley says, well, how could Lincoln do this when he was dead? And I says, you know what? He and his followers and his Republican Whig / Hamiltonian ilk. okay, Yo had a question, and I did go in and I looked yesterday when I created. It looks like, Bill, I have to go in and create the shows. They don't have recurring shows anymore, where I used to be able to do it for a whole year. They don't let us do that anymore. So that means I have to go in once a week and make sure that we're up there on the board and ready to rock and God. I don't know. So it's, you know, but I mean, I can do it. And that's just the only way I can promote them. So I don't know but his was scheduled for December 8th. It looked like he's up there. So I don't know what the deal is, but we'll see if he's on.
Okay.
So that'll be good, and then I'll make sure you guys get on Tuesday, and I'll be on Wednesday, and that's it. Two or three shows maybe, depending upon how many times Ron wants to do his thing. So let's see what I have here, if there's anything good. I didn't get through them last week, and I've got like the one I think it was the. Especially in Sacramento with the pensions and the big liabilities persisting. And then it says in Sacramento, state officials used to going own way on immigration. So there's that stuff to cover, but I'm kind of running out of time. I didn't know if there was anything really cute that I could pull up, but whatever you want to talk about, Bill, keep us. Oh, here was one. And this was more recent, but I'm going to go through the other ones next week. And then we can maybe, if you guys want to read that thing between now and then, we can talk about what you call it. Something about he left. I don't know if that was talking about Beasley because I saw him leave. Yeah, he didn't call in or anything. Anyway, so this was my friend Sage who I met back in, what was it? 2012, actually, because... Rocky Chavez was going for state assembly, and I met Sage because he was helping us at the headquarters of the lady, Sherry Hodges, who was going against that clown, and I helped phone bank. Anyway, Sage ran for city council, I think it was. No, he was going for the school board because the kid's like 19 years old. He's really phenomenal. He says meetings should be online on the air, just like ours in Oceanside. And he's a Carlsbad guy. He says, as our newly elected officials are sworn in within the coming weeks, I'd encourage everybody to begin a push toward increased transparency at every level of government. Your city, your property values, your children's education, it all matters. Which leads me to my challenge as a former candidate for the Carlsbad School Board. I'll be more direct in asking the new Carlsbad trustees to consider a motion to move our board meetings back to the Carlsbad City Council chambers so that our meetings may be televised. I'd also challenge the boards and councils of other cities to strongly consider doing the same. Transparency is of the utmost importance in governance, and the voters deserve to see how their newly elected officials are governing. Sage Nauman of Carlsbad, and that was really cool. I like that one. So we've got about 5 minutes left. Oh, I guess he was trying to come back in. What a schmendrick. Oh God, it says he logged in and he logged right back out. But anyway, so Rod Luke's gone.
That bothers people.
Huh?
He's like a fly. He eats crap and bothers people.
Oh, man, that guy, he's good at it, huh? He's such a leftard. You know, I mean, there might be some things he somehow, I might agree, but I don't know what. Oh, darn it, I can't get this thing to work. I'm trying to find my, there's a little slide, and I can't make the slide work. Let's see if I can, oh, there it goes.
Well, we'll let Chad give our final word tonight.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, people, this world is just going down the drain. You really need to pay attention and see what's going on. Only thing I can say is we can hold ground until God gets back, because the government ain't going to be there for the people.
No, no, not no, not at all.
We got to pay attention and see and read the bills and try to stop this stupid crap.
Well, yeah, and I want you guys, yeah. Thank you so much for Chad and Bill and everybody in the room and Doc and Yo and everybody that was here before. You know, I've got tons of stuff to. In fact, I should go ahead and order my computer ink and just go ahead and start printing some of this stuff out, and I can read it. Amazing stuff, and I will send it to you guys. So I'm going to play a little music. I just want to say God bless everyone and just do that homework. Keep talking to people. And I, like I said, I'm going to send them, as soon as I get off the air, I'm going to send it to you guys so you can read this thing. And please try to understand what they're saying. And it's very well written. I mean, anybody with a fourth grade education be able to get this one. Yola said, we embarrassed him. He embarrasses himself, please. Talking about Beasley. What a schmendrick. I mean, come on. God, what a putz. Oy, I got to use the vernacular. It just sounds better. It's more fun. And I want to thank you. I've got 3 minutes left. We'll just take us out with Keep the Change, and you guys be blessed. And see you next week. And hopefully, thank you, Bill and Chad and Yo and Doc and everybody. Hopefully, Ron will be on Monday. We'll find out, because he's kind of not. Yeah, we're hoping. We'll find out, man. You guys have a great one and have a great night.
I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America. How do you like that name? The USA, and y'all can keep the change.
God bless you guys. Good night, all.